Attention Magazine, making a difference for people affected by ADHD. Check out the December issue, where we'll cover strategies for a stress-free holiday, travel and routine challenges, dealing with extended families, and parenting when you have ADHD. Attention Magazine is chad.org. Click, join, get involved. Download the Attention Magazine app on iTunes.
This is Attention Talk Radio, your ADHD information station, part of Attention Talk Network. Its sister stations include Attention Talk Video, your ADHD talk show station, our subscription-based newsletter, Attention Talk News, your ADHD news source. Each media channel can be accessed at their respective URLs, attentiontalkradio.com, attentiontalkvideo.com, and attentiontalknews.com. Keep up with all the media channels on our Facebook page, found at facebook.com/attentiontalkradio.
Welcome to Attention Talk Radio, the show centered around paying attention to attention, with your host, Attention Coach Jeff Copper.
All right, out there, everybody. Good evening. This is welcome to this edition of Attention Talk Video. I'm your host, ADHD and Attention Coach Jeff Copper. We've got a great show for you tonight, Managing ADHD, White Noise, White Light, and White Experiences. This show is... you'll hear about that a little bit more later. There's a little bit of a brainchild of one of our listeners, and we're real excited about tonight. We'll be having a little conversation with Caroline McGuire here in a little bit, but real quick, tonight is Wednesday, December the 23rd in the year 2015 at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Some announcements real quick. First is the ADHD Palooza is set for January the 11th. At ADHDPALOOZA.com. This is a kind of a female-ish kind of telesummit that's going on. That was a week-long thing. I'll be speaking at it, but also a host of our peeps, Thomas Brown, Alan Brown, Mark Burton, Dr. Barkley, Diane Dempster, Lori DePauw, Dr. Hollowell, David Gwork, Rick Green, Wilma Thelman, Steve Henshaw, Kim Kensington, Barbara Luther, Roberto Olivardia, Michelle Novotny, Terry Maitland, Melissa Orlov, Dr. Quinn, Dr. Ramsey, Stephanie Sarkis, Linda Rogley, Anthony Rothstein, Eric Tivers, Elaine Taylor-Kloss, Ari Tuckman, Roberto Olivardia, and Linda Walker are all going to be there, and all have been guests on our show. Got to give them all a plug. They're great guests, they're great speakers, and there's some great information. Also, the LearningChallengeChild.com or the Learning Challenge Child Summit's coming up. That's going to be, I think, starts the January the 4th. That is not just an ADHD thing. It's covered ADHD and autism, Asperger's, dyslexia, and a couple other things. If you're a parent and you have a Learning Challenge Child, I encourage you to check that out. I know I will be in one of their webinars, as will Caroline. Also, real quickly, we've now got over 450 interviews and over 210 hours of content on Attention Talk Radio, Attention Talk Video, which can be quite overwhelming. So we put together, at least I put together, my favorite top 10 radio interviews that I've done on Attention Talk Radio. And you can check it out by going to digcoaching.com/ATR. Also, Dr. Barkley's encouraged me to talk about ADHDfund.com, which is a crowdsourcing website. That's there to raise money for small-scale research worldwide. I think that's all the announcements we've got. We are closing out the year. It actually happens tonight. Tonight's show is actually pre-recorded. I'm up with my family in the Mid-Atlantic States, and Caroline is out on the Cape with her family getting ready to enjoy the Christmas holidays. So we did record this in advance. We hope you enjoy the show. We hope that you learned something about this, because this is was a little bit of a unique show for us that we were pretty excited about doing. So without any further ado, we'll roll the tape.
So, hey, Caroline, we got a great show tonight.
Absolutely. Really important stuff on how to focus.
That's right. Our topic tonight is white. And when I say white, people have heard of, like, white noise, and as a coach, Caroline, I've actually kind of expanded that out to white experience, and Then there's what we're going to talk about, white light, and then like white movement, which we'll talk about in a little bit. But first of all, I want to pause here for a second. I'd like to do a shout out to Jesse. This show was actually the brainchild of one of our listeners out there who reached out to us and shared their experience with white noise and how it's kind of helped them focus in some details. And through that conversation, I thought, hey, I think there's kind of something here. And so really kind of want to explore this topic tonight. I will tell you is we like to be as science-minded as we can, and there is no science on this, although sometimes through observations you discover things, and other times you actually kind of prove it. And there's definitely a lot of talk about some of this type of stuff, but we're going to introduce some new concepts, and hopefully maybe you'll pay attention to things differently and help you pay attention. So I guess let's begin. I wanted to kind of talk about like white noise first. Caroline, you want to talk about from your perspective, what is white noise to you?
Well, first of all, as a person with ADHD, is my absolute must. But white noise is really, you know, anything from those machines they have in a doctor's office that sort of make the shushing noise to, I think, just a constant drone of noise in the background, like a television or radio. And I think it's something that, you know, just is constant, I would say, is the biggest thing.
You know, I kind of wonder, and I don't necessarily know this, but I'm just kind of pontificating, is it that hum, that constant stuff, is it relaxing? Because I've heard of, you know, parents before when they were trying to get their infants, you know, to kind of calm down, stop crying. Literally, they would, like, turn a vacuum cleaner on, like, next to them. Or sometimes they have to drive around the block in the cars, and the hum of the car or the movement or whatever kind of seems to get them to sleep. And I wonder sometimes if it's that, if that noise or that humming, almost vibration, actually just kind of calms a person down. Thoughts?
I think that there is a connection. I mean, many of us who have children, we have actually used the sleep sheep or whatever with the child.
Yep.
And I think that there is something about certain people's brain wiring where we need the noise in the background. And actually, if you talk to people who do diagnosis of ADHD, like at you know, major centers like Children's Hospital in Boston, they will say that it is an incredibly common thing for, you know, kids to do their homework with the TV, i.e. the white noise in the background. Not an ideal practice, but I think it's all wrapped together in sort of this need for this background stimulation.
Yep. You know, it really can be helpful for some people. And I talked about that hum is kind of calming down, but the other side of it, you know, Caroline, I've noticed that some with ADHD seem to have a hypersensitivity to sounds. And it's almost like if they hear a sound, it grabs their attention because it stands out maybe more in their mind. And it's almost like sometimes that white noise kind of drowns it all out. So all those creaks and cracks and stuff that you might hear, you don't hear as much just because the other noise kind of tempers that down. Thoughts on that?
I think it does temper it down. I think it also creates that calming. And I think it creates sort of this blended noise, where instead of hearing the sharpness, there's a lot of people whose attention is then drawn. You know, I know with working with kids, a lot of times they'll say, you know, if someone even opens a door, that's where my attention goes and the test is over, you know. And I think the white noise kind of facilitates a blanket over everything. And it's almost like, you know, when snow covers the ground and all the icky stuff is dissipated into the snow, you have instead this calming noise that wraps everything together.
Forgive me, when you said, when you were talking a second ago, all of a sudden I had a flash. You know, we know that some with ADHD are particularly sensitive to tactile things, and I describe that as they'll actually have to cut the labels out of shirts and stuff like that because they're so sensitive to touch that stuff, they feel it, and they can't get it out of their head, so they can't concentrate on anything. And so in the same breath as that physical sensitivity goes back to that possible audio sensitivity that might kind of amp it up and the need to kind of cut the label off, if you will, so that they're not distracted by it. So just interesting kind of thought.
Yeah, absolutely.
the other side of it, too, is we're talking about white noise. There's some that I work with that the white noise actually doesn't work, and they need absolute silence, and it's not as commonly talked about, but that notion of using earplugs. Have you worked with anybody who found that beneficial?
Absolutely. I have had many, college students, young people, moms, every age group who literally, have to wear noise-canceling headphones, even in the next room. So, a lot of times with kids, they do their homework in the dining room or in the kitchen. They need the body double of being in the dining room or the kitchen, but they can't stand all the noise generated by other people in the room. And so they literally wear noise-canceling headphones in order to sort of create that cocoon.
I love that, the cocoon. When you think about it, yeah, you get kind of focused and you block that stuff out and you kind of get inwardly focused and you're not distracted. So I love that cocoon thing. Huh. Interesting.
I think it's really true.
One of the things about earplugs, though, it cracks me up is I've worked with some people over the period of time, and I suggested earplugs, and I'm in Tampa. There's a Sam's. I think you can go buy a box of them, like with 150 of those little foam ones that you roll with your fingers to make them small, and you stick them in your ear, and they kind of expand. I mean, you can get like 150 of them for $2. I'm exaggerating, but it seems to me it's an amazingly expensive solution for many that don't even think about trying it.
I think that that's true, and I think that sometimes even people just have to sort of try to apply their creativity to what they have and what they could do, right? For instance, many of us do have those old baby noise machines. You could use those. You can use old headphones. You can use the earplugs they give you in the airplane that are free.
Yep. You can, at home, you can use just a fan. A vacuum cleaner. There's all kinds of things that you can kind of do that. So the point really here is that in order to manage focus, so often when it comes to those with ADHD, it's so much about the environment. So if you're one of those people might be sensitive to sound, or you're more relaxing to have the hum of that constant noise in the background, is begin to play with some of that stuff, because it's amazing how those little environmental things can really change your ability just to kind of regulate your attention and focus in on it. Caroline, we need to go to break, but when we come back, what I want to do is take this exact same concept of white. We've talked about white noise. We're going to come back and talk about the notion of white experiences. And before we go, just for our listeners out there, if you want to learn a little bit more about Caroline, you want to give out your website?
Sure. It's www.ne, as in Ned Edward, coaching.com, newenglandcoaching.com. And I also have a Facebook page, Coach Caroline McGuire.
And I'm ADHD and attention coach Jeff Copper at digcoachingpractice.com if you want to learn more about what I do on the side. And so with that, we'll be right back after these messages.
Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
Looking for a new way to manage your ADHD or ADD? A new clinical trial is testing an investigational medicine for adults with ADHD. The medication is not a stimulant. There's no cost to participate, and health insurance is not required. If you've been diagnosed with ADHD and want to learn more, visit www.measureadhd.com or call 866-985-0330. That's measureadhd.com or 866-985-0330.
The average annual cost of attending college starts around $25,000. Students who have ADHD are at high risk of dropping out because they haven't learned the critical skills they need to succeed in school. Protect your investment with an EDGE Foundation coach, specifically trained to help students with ADHD and executive function challenge make the transition from high school to college. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more, or call 206-632-9497 and use promo code EDGE to get your free college success guide.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is TimeTimer.com.
You deserve the best-trained ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
If you think you understand attention so well, then why are you struggling so much with it? It's as simple as it is complex to understand. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise. It's grossly misunderstood. Consider this. Focus on the wrong thing, get the wrong solution. In our new ebook, we'll share 5 key tips and insights on managing ADHD learned from conducting more than 300 interviews with attention experts. Download our ebook today at attentiontalknetwork.com and start understanding and managing your attention today.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm here with co-host Carolyn McGuire, and we're having a conversation about white. White. Before the break, we talked about white noise and managing one's environment, either adding noise, the hum of white noise, or adding earplugs as a means to help you focus. This segment, I want to talk about a white experience, and this is one of those things that I don't know, I haven't heard before. Maybe I coined the phrase or more, maybe I didn't. Not necessarily, it doesn't really matter, but, you know, Caroline, one of the things that I found is many with ADHD, they struggle to focus kind of when they're kind of by themselves, but they do it really well in what I call a white experience, and that is defined as a place where there's a lot of people moving around. Everybody's paying attention to something differently on their own, but there's a lot of hustle and bustle. So a specific situation is like maybe a busy Starbucks or an airport or like a college campus, kind of in the thick where kind of people are moving around. Your thoughts on that? Have you worked with anybody who noticed that they're able to focus better in such environments?
Yes, and absolutely. I love the term white experience because I think it is just that. A lot of people that I work with, I start suggesting that we experiment, and this is one of the things that I find works for a lot of people, and they're surprised by. And you know, I have a student who that I had a while ago who kind of turned me on to another piece of this, which is, you know, sometimes you can do it in the moment when you end class and there's people around and you have a little bit of that noise. But if you walk across campus, by the time you get to your room, you're done. So I have often talked people into, you know, sit down right there with sort of the hum around you and do the work then. In the locker room, doesn't matter. So I think that the experience is really something to look at.
Now, you just said in the locker room, and just kind of in passing, you actually have a story behind that one. Can you tell that? Because I don't think that, like, when you say locker room, like, I don't know if people caught that, but that was a real situation for somebody you worked with, right?
Yeah, so I had a young person I worked with, and he was having a lot of trouble getting his work done, and we kind of figured out that this white noise experience was headed toward the solution. But the issue really was that, you know, if he finished wrestling and he sat down one day because he was waiting for a ride and he did his work. I mean, he did his work at record speed and accuracy, and he was on. He was in hyper-focus because he had just worked out, so he had the dopamine, and he had the hum of the people around him. And, you know, he got everything done. And what we found was that if he walked out to the car, got in the car, went home, by the time he got home, it was over. He really couldn't get back into that zone. So we started having his mom pick him up later. It took a little coercing. She was thought, you know, what are you people doing at first? But really, once she saw the results, we started having him just stay at practice. And now it's something I suggest to many people. You know, I have a college student right now who's doing exactly that. He stops, he finishes his practice, and he does his work. I have another student I'm working with right now who ends class. He's at a big university. If he walks across campus, it's miles. Instead, he just, you know, stays in class, and he does his work rather than, you know, leave that white noise environment.
Yep. So, yeah, it's same thing, just different scenarios. As I've worked with a couple different executives. Expense accounts tend to be one of those things that are relatively difficult. It's kind of paperwork, kind of boring, among other things. And, Caroline, I've literally had people before, and the traveling people really kind of identify it, where they just literally drive to an airport, and they drive right, or they go sit right in that area where everybody's kind of going by to go down the, where they check in to go down the gate in the busiest area of the airport, and just sit there. And because of all the movement of everybody kind of passing by, they're able to kind of focus and get some things done. There's also a couple other individuals that I've coached that were midline, whatever, that they would be in the office, and there'd be, you know, be a situation where there's people around. People are moving about 5:30, when the day is kind of over with, and these people, well, for whatever reason, tend to need to do work or stay longer. The quiet of the office creates a problem for them to focus, and those times they get up. And in Tampa, I've literally had them go to University of Tampa or to a Starbucks and sit down so that there's that movement and people moving again. And they've been amazed at how just that environmental change of the quiet office to go to that area where there's people moving, they're able to focus and get some things done. Again, everybody, I think you're starting to see a theme here, is that you manipulate your environment in such a way as to help your focus, or whether you manipulate your environment in other ways, you step into it. And I found that to be sometimes very effective.
Absolutely. And I think the other piece about your story, Jeff, that I really love is that people are becoming aware of when things fall apart for them, the beginning of the day, the end of the day, lunch, whatever it is. And, you know, that you can – I've had people go to hotels. They're not staying there. They just go and they sit in the lobby because they've found that's where they can get their work done. And, you know, I think that the creativity piece and letting go of the shoulds is the most important thing.
Yep. I'm going to go to a break here again in a little bit, but again, I want to reiterate the thing. Caroline, as I constantly tell people when I'm working with them, it's far more difficult to change yourself, which I'm not even so sure you can do, but let's say you can. It's harder to do that than it is the environment. And again, so far we've been talking about just subtle changes to the environment that can enable you to focus. So when we come back, I want to get into the notion of white movement and white light, which is some new areas that I've been kind of exploring. So, again, before we go to break, Caroline, you want to share your website?
Sure. Thanks, Jeff. It's necoaching.com, and I have a Facebook page, Coach Caroline McGuire, and there's some great resources there.
And if you want to learn about me, go to digcoaching.com. And from there, there's all kinds of links that you can go to, like everything imaginable, back to Attention Talk Radio, to all the social media, among other things. So with that, we'll be right back after these messages.
You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. We'll return in a moment. Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
A new study is seeking adults 18 to 55 who have been diagnosed with ADHD or ADD. The study will examine the effects of an investigational medicine on symptoms of ADHD. The medicine is not a stimulant and works differently than currently approved ADHD medications. To learn more, visit www.measureadhd.com or call 866-985-0330. That's measureadhd.com or 866-985-0330.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is timetimer.com.
You can't go off to college with them, but we can. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more how an EDGE coach can help your student reach their full potential. You can also call 206-632-9497 and use promo code EDGE and get a free college success guide.
Experience the difference with a top-notch ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
Focus on the wrong thing? Get the wrong solution. Misunderstand attention and you'll struggle with it. Get 5 key tips and insights on managing ADHD learned from conducting more than 300 interviews with attention experts. Download the ebook today at attentiontalknetwork.com and start managing your attention today.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody. We're having a great conversation about white noise, white experience, pretty soon white light and white movement. And, you know, Caroline, I'm recently toying around with this thing. I can't remember where I heard it, but they said, you know, if you ever notice when you label something, you quit paying attention to it. And it's a fascinating concept because, like, when you think of ADD, people have this, like, one-size-fits-all what it is. And I know you worked with people like I have, and, you know, everybody's so completely different that there's really no homogeneous thing about ADD. But, again, the label kind of gets you to kind of focus in on that one thing. And as we're talking about this white noise, in white experience that we were doing, I actually had started dabbling with a notion of white light. And during the break, I had a little bit of an aha. that I'll share with you in a second. The notion of white light is a little bit of, are you a type of person that needs to be in very, very bright light? Or imagine that imagine somebody like in the old libraries that you kind of think of, like, you know, big, where it's really, really dark, and there's this one lamp that's just down shining on a book, and really for the most room, the room is dark. You can kind of see, but it's really kind of dampened out, but you have this one big light that's kind of focused down there. And I find that I call that either white darkness or white light as a means for some people. It helps them focus. Have you seen any of that before, Caroline, or your thoughts on that?
Sure. Yeah, I actually think that, there's scientific proof that a lot of folks have more of a sensitivity. We talked about it at the top of the show. And so there are folks that I work with who really have a sensitivity to the bright sort of sterile lights of certain buildings, and it affects them. Now, whether it affects them in a sensory level or it's just distracting because it annoys them, you know, that's sort of up for grabs. But I think that the environment, you know, is proven to have such an impact on us. You look at things like the light, the heat, all of that stuff. You know, ADHD folks are more sensitive to it. So that stuff can affect your ability to be productive.
Mm-hmm. It's during the break.
I think it's something to look at.
So during the break, as I was thinking about that concept of the light and this stuff, you know, there's a lot of those with ADHD or night owls, and I know many of them that I work with, you know, they're up, there's nobody around, and, you know, they're in a dimly lit house with this, like, really bright computer screen, which really kind of begins to mimic kind of what I described a little bit. And I begin to think about that crowd who does that would be like if they were to go into a room and kind of recreate that environment in the middle of the day where they turned out all the lights, except for something like really small, and put a computer screen. I wonder if that would let them focus in the middle of the day as opposed to the more natural darkness of night. What do you think of that concept? I mean, I didn't really think about that until like little of the break when we were thinking about this.
So I think that is a good concept. I think it goes back to that there is no one-size-fits-all. I think that the silence of the night kind of plays in here, too.
Yep.
When you talk to people about why do you stay up all night doing your work, there's this silence, there's this peace. I think sometimes there's also an underlying thing of this is their time, which
yep.
can become a double-edged sword. So I think that definitely, people sometimes need to create sort of this specific sensory experience, and
mm-hmm.
it makes perfect sense. And I think, again, the more you experiment, the more you find what works for you.
I love these shows that kind of get me thinking, because you described what you're thinking. All of a sudden, I had this picture of somebody putting earplugs in, going to a room, turn off all lights, throwing all the curtains down, and putting the computer screen on at like noon in order to simulate that 2 o'clock in the morning environment. And wondering if that might help some of the people, because I never really thought about that before, because that peace
right.
and silence and stuff is just, anyway, again, something to think about here. And again, one of the themes that we keep coming up through this is it's easier to change your environment than it is to change yourself. And I think the key is really that little bit of that self-awareness and self-observation to know what works and experiment around that. So the only other white thing I want to kind of touch base, which is a little outlier, I've used it a little bit, but just to introduce the topic a little bit, is what I call white movement. And there's people that when they're in a situation where they're getting bumped around or jostled or whatever, they've described it very difficult for them to focus. And particularly there was an individual that I know that when they go bike ride and they hit a bump, it's very startling to them and they lose their focus. And if they're riding with a group of people, maybe cycling, it kind of creates a problem. And as a way to kind of numb that out, they actually chew gum while they're riding, and that movement and the jostling of their jaws, as they have described it, is it dulls their sensitivity to the bumps in the road when they do that. I haven't really worked a lot with this, and it hasn't really kind of come up. I think it's kind of unique, but I thought I'd throw it out there and maybe get your thoughts on it, Caroline.
Well, I, as you know, work with kids, and what I find is actually I see a lot more of that. I see kids who have to have opportunities that they really do need the gum or some other piece that helps them focus or not be distracted by their own inner workings. So I think sometimes our sensitivities with ADHD get amplified in our head, and then that becomes the distraction more than any video game you've ever seen. So I think that's part of what, you're describing with the gum and the whole experience.
Yeah, everything we would describe is still all following that kind of same genre, that white stuff where you're managing stuff with regard to your senses as a means to control or help you self-regulate your attention and really kind of focus, and sometimes your emotions in these situations. So it's really kind of a fascinating conversation. And what I really hope, Eric, Caroline, is we've had this conversation. If anybody came to the show, is we've paid attention to these types of things and got people to think, because it's only when you become aware that maybe these things are possible that you actually go to experiment with them and maybe find something that works for you. I don't know about you, but the best thing about being a coach is there's so many really cool solutions that I never would have thought of myself that were actually kind of borne out just in conversations with a client saying, what do you think might work? I know you've had the same experience.
Absolutely, and that's always – part of what I think, what I would love to tell every ADHD person, all the 15 million, is, if you try different things, since there is no one size fits all, and you listen to your sort of, wonderings, you might find the trick. And if you interview people, which I know you do, Jeff, and you talk to people who are very successful with ADHD, what I find is that they have found those tricks, that they went through a period where they figured it out.
And it's interesting to me because the cool tricks, the not-so-obvious tricks, are really born out of more self-observation. I don't know about you, Caroline. I've actually coached some people before that have read every book, went to every webinar, and actually begin to forbid them to do that anymore because they're so busy trying to be somebody else, they're not able to kind of tune in and notice really what works for them. It's kind of like they're blinded by it, and they keep forcing something that doesn't work. Certainly today was designed to help people maybe be creative and jive and maybe think outside and maybe try some of this stuff to maybe stumble into it. But I know often those that are successful, it really started with, okay, I'm looking around my world and what works for me, and if it does, I stick to it, and sometimes it's really kind of interesting, unique stuff.
Absolutely, and that's the thing. It is not probably something that you're going to find at Barnes & Noble. It's probably something that you're going to find within yourself. Yep. And if you're willing to kind of let go of the shoulds, you really can find something that works and allows you to achieve all your wildest dreams.
There you go. So I guess we should wrap this up. Caroline, it's a pleasure doing the show with you.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. I think this is a great show for people who are struggling with procrastination and getting started.
And everybody, Caroline actually specializes in working with families and kids. And so, again, Caroline, can you give out your website for those that might want to learn a little bit more about what you do?
Sure, anycoaching.com. Thank you.
And I'm Jeff Copper at digcoaching.com. I work a lot with adults who've been diagnosed later in life and executives. So with that, catch us next week for another great edition of Attention Talk Radio. Take care.